The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Bombas Premium Socks. Talking Simpsons listeners can go to getbombas.com/lasertime and get 20% off your first order.
Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we're as smart as we are handsome. Take that as you will. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Big Shirtless Bob. Who else is here today with me?
Look who's oinking, Henry Gilbert.
That's good. And who else do we have?
Yahoo, it's Chris Antis. I'm sorry. Chris Antis, everybody. Hi!
Are you part of the recovering alcoholic jug band?
He drinks as he takes a sip? No.
Good old Yahoo.
So today's episode is Colonel Homer, and it aired on March 26, 1992. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in Simpsons history?
Holy fucking shit, Bobby.
Peter Griffin's here.
Stone Phillips makes his debut as an NBC anchor. Basic Instinct pulls in quite a spread at the box office.
Later parodied on The Simpsons.
Bananas are $1 a pound, and most importantly for our purposes, Garth Brooks' Ropin' in the Wind, which was the first country album to ever debut at number one, goes on to sell 14 million copies, which, as I exit my cheesy newscaster voice, should show you why this was a topic of an episode, a believable one.
Yeah, though I don't think they planned it around a resurgence in country. It just kind of happened.
This is Garth Brooks' third album. And there, we were in. I had a year or two period of liking country while trying to fit in and pretend to like sports. So I remember very specifically this period. Country was huge, and the only real thing I have to note, like, to tell me that I was there and I was right, is the episode of Pinky and the Brain, where he poses as Bubba Bo Bob Brain, because that is the new big thing.
I think what
it's why we have Miley Cyrus, because of Billy Ray Cyrus.
What Garth Brooks did, I think, was make country into something much poppier, where country songs used to be like, oh, my truck went off the cliff, my dog died, my wife left me.
Terrible. Yes. Like shitty, sad, like pretty much bad rap sung horribly over an acoustic guitar.
I think
I'm drinking at the keg and fucking shit up. I swear, when I hear country,
America,
that's what they talk about now.
And I love this guy.
Every country song is an anthem about being a dirtbag. Like, we're going to have some fun and drink bad beer.
This girl loves my overalls.
And I love it. I love an old hick, like, with bad posture perched over an acoustic guitar, like, warbling a bunch of crap. Yeah. But when this is overproduced and you're, like, you're name-checking brands in your song, like...
I mean, that's what Garth brought in, too, of, like, the character cowboy. Like, that's I liked of old country. What I like about old country music is that, you know, Merle Haggard or Willie Nelson, all those types, like, they lived a life. Like, they were ugly men.
These broken down haggard men singing about their real problems.
There's an expression of pain and desperation, not just everybody boots, scoot, and boogie. Woohoo!
It's either that or my little girl's growing up and I'm kind of attracted to her.
Well, and also, she's known for her looks, too, but Dolly Parton had a lot of that tragedy and, like, sadness in her life, too.
God, I'm going to see her.
And we love her.
And I love Dolly Parton so much. I love her so much. One of my favorite things she did recently, well, when I say recently, I mean 10 years ago. Yeah. She did an original song for Transamerica, which, like, was an ahead of its time, ahead of the curve thing about trans people in America. She wrote an original song for it that was, she successfully in the song compares someone transitioning into the gender expression they believe in. She connects that to Jesus dying on the cross.
Wow.
As she's like, just like Jesus on the cross, I am transformed.
That's heavy. I mean,
it was like...
And progressive.
That's any chick with a dick, Dollywood for free.
That's what I loved about her, that she when she sang the song at the Oscars that year, she's like, well, from Dollywood to Hollywood, how about this? And that she, like,
she's beautiful.
I love about her that she is a very devout Christian, but she also is like, I'll have fun, and I can, and that she can fit in progressive values with her Christianity. One of my favorite stories about her too, this Dolly Parton has little to do with this episode, but it was when she hosted Saturday Night Live, she told the writers, like, I will do any joke you want except Jesus. Like, just don't make fun of the church. I'll do any joke. And she did. Like, they said she was game for anything.
I grew up with a naked picture of Dolly Parton taped inside a trunk where I hid my candy.
Was she naked?
I grew up in the South. You know, I tried looking it up. This was pre-internet. This was ripped out of a magazine.
Wow.
So either it was a very accurate facsimile, because I had to buy, I bought a ripped picture from a magazine of a picture of tits.
The black market.
For like $5 in middle school. And we grew up in a big hick town. So like, and all, we weren't really going through puberty yet. All we knew is that the bigger the breast, the better the woman. So Dolly Parton was the end all be all for little hick town.
So I had Dolly on my mind because there's a little bit of her in Lurleen Lumpkin, though more Patsy Cline.
Yes.
And so the background of this episode is that it is the only episode where the sole credited writer is Matt Groening.
That's crazy.
Only, right? And I think it's the second and last one where he is credited as a writer, unless he somehow came back.
Like four.
Technically,
really?
He was on 22. He is a credited writer on 22 short films about Springfield. But... and I think he did a Treehouse of Horror, or no, that was before this. Like, so he kind of just fell back on it.
Well, I will not proclaim to know everything about those writing rooms, but you generally have a bunch of people throwing out ideas,
exactly,
putting them down on paper, and one person goes off to structure that into an episode, and that is the credited writer.
I mean, he might have. You know, what we know about now, the dynamics.
When you hear them talk, it's like, oh, that's a fucking Meyer joke.
Yeah.
Even though his name is not on the... he doesn't have a writer.
I feel like someone submits a first draft and then it's punched up into an episode.
And that's definitely what this feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a lot of punching up
here. With a dumbass podcast. We always, like, one person needs to own this if we're doing this many. It's just like that.
But also, knowing what we know about the dynamics between Sam Simon and Matt Groening, I wonder if he was doing it to be like, I can write one of these.
Yeah.
Oh, you big time writers, I'll show you. I've
was
got
Sam
this
Simon
idea.
Gone at this point?
No. Season 3, he leaves during it.
Yeah, I think so. You're right.
Yeah, but this is towards the end.
But he was there for it.
That would explain it, though, if he was writing it with Sam Simon and he booked.
But this episode is a parody of, to an extent, of Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yes. I've never seen
it. A film about Patsy Cline, which is why they hired Beverly D'Angelo, who played her in the film.
She did.
I am so embarrassed about this no, you're thinking of a different movie.
Okay.
She's in it. Beverly D'Angelo is in it, Coal Miner's Daughter, and that she... I didn't know she was a musician. I knew her as the Vacation Mom. I grew up in the 80s. She's Vacation Mom to me.
It took me a while to Google that. This is her singing voice, right?
And she wrote some of the songs.
She wrote two of the songs.
Wow.
She wrote Bag Me a Homer and Your Wife Don't Understand You.
Like, Bunk With Me Tonight's my favorite one. It's not on any CD, and that's always made me mad. But this episode starts at a movie theater with The Simpsons.
The first appearance of the Googleplex?
Yeah.
So, what are we going to see?
Ernest cuts the cheese. Honey, I hit a school bus.
Look who's oinking. Look who's oinking.
That is such a wonderful mirror into what was coming out of theaters at that time.
I think they predicted Look Who's Talking Now, because they're implying there's going to be pigs talking in this next one.
Oh, see, I wondered if that was... Wow, I always read that as like a Porky's parody.
Oh,
but
okay.
No, you're right. It is totally
Look Who's Talking,
Look Who's
Honey,
Talking.
I Shrunk the Kids, and Ernest, and the other movies on the Googleplex. I'll Fry Your Face 3, The Smell in Room 19,
yes.
Space Mutant 6, The Stockholm Affair, which they go and see, and Ernest versus the Pope.
Yeah, Bart says Ernest cuts the cheese, but the movie is Ernest versus the Pope.
I thought that was hysterical, because at the time, I unironically loved Ernest movies, and if you made a movie about him farting, I would camp out inside the theater.
What if he farted? I love that opening. It's full of great observational stuff of, like, this is what going to the movies is like.
And The Stockholm Affair is what, like, a sort of a Tom Clancy thriller, like in the,
they
like,
make
the
it
Hunt,
look
for
very
October.
Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Like, towards the end, at least.
Get me Ted Kolek, or whatever that guy's name is. Jim Kolek?
Like, the parking in the compact space, that to me, I always think of it when I see a compact space. Like, I think I have a minor anxiety about it when I drove around. I was like, oh, I can't park there. I'll my car will be trapped.
I never knew what a compact car was again from the South. And then I moved to San Francisco, and it's like, if you need to have a compact car to live
to
here.
To park anywhere.
I mean, yeah, compact to see car is like almost too big.
Is
like,
very rare.
Yeah, or a boat of a car.
You need to buy a small disposable car, because you will lose those windows. You will get your car will be shit on. All
shit resistant.
I do think this is the one of the final appearances of Space Mutants. Like, they just stopped. I think they stopped thinking, like, Space Mutants isn't funny. They barely show it.
It's not only that it wasn't funny, because I do love the Space Mutants, don't get me wrong, but like that was probably more evocative of the writers of the first season's childhood than an accurate depiction. Mm. We were not watching monster movies.
And yeah, they really don't make a lot of great jokes with this Space Mutants idea. I mean, the one where they're in Australia is funny, but I think that's basically the most they get out of it.
Yeah.
Even though the first NES game was based on the idea of Space Mutants. But
I did love Bart's line, if you don't watch the violence, you'll never get desensitized to it.
That's true.
I do like the outburst Marge has at Homer during the film.
I think that guy's a spy.
Well, of course he's a spy. You just saw him go through spy school.
Oh, wait. I heard how this ends. It turns out the secret code was the same nursery rhyme he told his daughter. Hey, it's pretty obvious if you think about it.
No, shut up, Homer. No one wants to hear what you think.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I do love when it's a treat for me when I'm in a theater and the entire theater applauds a bad person being asked to go. Like, I worked in a movie theater for 4 years. And so I've been on both sides of it. And when you see a loud jerk asked to leave or told to shut up by the rest of the theater and everyone applauds,
finally,
like, it's a beautiful moment. Though it also, you know, heightens the situation and makes things even more tense. But it is a nice cathartic moment. I like a whole audience laughing.
I really sympathize with Marge because I have had friends that would be the chatty person in the theater. And it's hard to yell at them without, like, making a situation. But at the same time, you feel like you're part of it. And people are also looking at you and you're just like, God, shut up.
I've been both. And I have also been on the receiving end of a public dressing down by my significant other.
Oh.
But, I mean, I just don't...
Shut up, Chris!
I thrive on not behaving well. It's just... I don't blame anybody else, but I know how much it hurts to be scolded in public like that.
I mean, yeah, I just can't feel too bad for him because, like, he was being so obscenely rude at this thing, and people were trying to tell him, like, shut up,
but
Homer.
That's what happens when you get in long-term relationships. You get too comfortable where you don't really you're not considerate enough about how you're making someone else look in public.
That's true. As an animation geek, I did love that when she gets hit, when Homer does get hit with the drink, more of it does splash on Marge. So when he says the...
I don't have it.
When she says most of the stuff they threw at you got me, it really did happen.
But just watching... This is one of those episodes watching it as an adult. Like, it does make a lot more sense to me. I would probably get mad, storm out, go away for an evening, come back and apologize.
He leaves for a long time. I guess we'll get to that.
Homie, aren't you coming inside?
Marge, I have always carried myself with a certain quiet dignity. Tonight... You robbed me of it. I'm going now, and I don't know when you'll see me again.
Wow. Homer is so in the wrong here. I was having problems, you know, trying to feel good about what Homer's doing throughout, even though it leads to some great jokes. I feel like I'm leaving my family because I made a scene, and you don't know where I'm going, and I might not be back.
And I'll take the one car when I
have
to.
You ever have male tantrums like that? Where you just run away for like an hour? I don't go.
Maybe like go to the other room. Not like I'm leaving town. I won't be back till the morning.
I usually like just go see a movie or something.
Or
like
go to the bar.
I guess I've done that, but I wouldn't be gone all night long.
No.
Though we are thinking about this now, like they didn't have cell phones. So when Homer's like gone, like you don't know where he is. You can't text him. You couldn't text him, and 2 hours later, like still mad, mad. Like
that's true. No way to check in.
Are you ready to talk, Bay? # reconcile.
Some kind of emojis thrown in there.
I love the stuff with Flamin' Pete's. That was fun. Like just and that's why he gets so far away from town too. That he's chasing Flamin' Pete's, and then he just keeps driving. And the stuff with the smells, it's not good audio, but him just being. Like, all the different stenches.
I swear they spend 2 minutes with Homer in the car with no dialogue, just him driving past things. And that entire stretch of highway that has nothing but bad smells is like when you drive from Southern California to Northern California, there is like a stretch of highway like that that's just nothing but cows. So you're smelling manure for maybe 20 to 30 minutes.
We would have to drive through Jessup, Georgia. They had one good thing, a Hardee's. The rest of it was like a paper mill and just... miles of stench.
Yeah,
I do miss Hardee's. You know, Carl's Jr. is
right there.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not as classy.
They have a California burger, and I always look into stupid burger innovations. Like, what is this? It's the In-N-Out burger. That's what they've ripped off, and they put in Hardee's all over the country.
A few Carl's.
Why are we? You know what we should be talking about? Because I have this in next to my house.
We don't sell Duff. We sell FUD.
Okay, FUD me.
there is a stupid, awful, terrible local grocery store that's the closest to us, and we occasionally have to go buy bad produce there. They have one kind of bacon. It is FUD. It is FUD bacon.
Wow.
I every time I go in and take a picture, I'm like, boy, I'm going to tweet about this. It's going to be great. Then I forget and post like 18 other things instead.
Did it blind any hillbillies? That's my question.
So they are so mean to Southerners in this one. Like, they are. It's to such a cartoonist extent. Mm-hmm. At first, it's Spittle County. they immediately cross the line and you're in Deliverance. And then at the honky-tonk, like, that's my line of the show. Hey, let's fight.
Them's fighting words. No, of course they don't have it.
But hey, let's fight. Them's fighting words.
I just
then they even throw a pig on stage in anger when they're throwing chairs. They also throw a pig
at the yodeler. Yeah,
almost everything that happens to Homer in the third act, I think, is like some of the best lines the show has ever had. And then good for Groening if he's responsible for those. It shows that he's a real genius.
But so we meet the singing waitress.
We work all day for some old man, sweating.
Yeah.
Then you go home to your castle, but your queen won't cut your slack.
That's true.
That's why you're losing all your hair. That's why you're overweight. That's why you flip your pickup truck right off the interstate.
That's right, except for the pickup truck.
There's a lot of bull that hands you. There's nothing you can do. Wife don't understand you, but I do.
Yep. Well, I don't understand you, but I do.
Beverly D'Angelo is so good.
Speaking as a red-blooded American male, I think this is the most attractive female Simpsons character ever created.
It's her voice. Like, Beverly D'Angelo, I mean, I'm sure she looks age-appropriate now, but she not only sounded but looked like... Why wasn't she Jessica Rabbit?
That's true.
Like, yeah. She even looked like that. She looked like the perfect woman. Like,
I think with...
Up until, like, 5 years ago when she finally, like, oh, guess what? She's 60. She's been 60 this whole time?
No one told me.
Because I think she just had twins with Al Pacino, like, a couple of years. Jesus. I'm not kidding.
So do you think Lurleen is prettier than Mindy?
Ooh,
yes,
I think so.
But I have a white trash fetish. I'm from Florida.
I mean, I think she's drawn sexier because she is more throughout the episode. She is drawn more openly, like she's courting Homer.
Yeah,
Mindy and Homer end up together without wanting it. Neither of them wants it, so she's not drawn as like sexily.
Yeah, she's trying to be a little seductive.
Also, might have something to do with what you're attracted to, Henry, because basically Mindy is Homer. And
that's true.
This is a sultry minx.
No, I would say Lurleen is. I think Lurleen is prettier too. I think something that helps the prettiness transfer over is that there's something cartoonish about her, like her giant hair, but these things that are real bits of the South, it's coming through with her. It still works.
Like her shirt and everything. Yeah.
She is a Stuckey's pecan log in a manure farm. You know what I mean?
But so that song from the beginning, I think, tells you Lurleen is into married guys. Like she wants this kind of from the beginning.
We were talking before the show. Every song she writes is about Homer. Sometimes explicitly, like, I am singing to you, Homer, about you and your wife and me, and how I want you to leave her.
And I want to have sex with you,
but
Homer.
Do you think there's a lot of country songs like this? I don't know a whole lot about this kind of country music, but aren't there a lot of like wish fulfillment, like, I'll be there for you? Like, how those boy bands are like, I'm singing to you, the woman who's listening, or the girl who's listening.
Well, there is the song, I mean, this brought me to thinking of Dolly Parton. I mean, I don't believe it's a Parton song, but there's Stand By Your Man, which sort of gets parodied later. But Stand By Your Man, which is, it's more about how hard it is to be a woman. And Stand By Your Man is a stupid song in a way. Well,
it's catchy, but it doesn't have a good message.
The message in it is just like, can you believe this awful woman stole your man? I hate this woman. Like, should be kind of mad at your guy.
Yep,
for,
yep. You do not change horses in midstream.
That's an Oregon Trail tip.
But it also reminded me of there's a very good drunk history mm-hmm. by Casey Wilson where she tells the drunk history, or she plays Dolly Parton in it. She tells the drunk history behind Dolly Parton writing the song I Will Always Love You, which was more popularized by Whitney Houston, but it was a hit first with Dolly Parton.
Listen to the Dolly one. She's got an extra verse in it.
She wrote it as a farewell song to her former songwriting and love life partner.
Wow.
And she was going solo. And she wrote that song as like, this is goodbye, and I will always love you, but jeez. I'm leaving you too.
My heart is breaking hearing this.
And she,
my heart will go on.
He got some of the songwriting rights to it, too. She gifted it to him because he was down on his luck. Like, watch that drunk history. It's an amazing drunk history. It gave me a whole new level of appreciation for Dolly. But so anyway, yeah, I think that kind of autobiographical stuff, that is totally what country is about, whether it is a chanteuse or a chanteur.
I mean, it just revels in those cliches that help things go mainstream. They can be easily adapted to any situation.
And it's important to note that Homer is moved by this song, not because of Lurleen's beauty, which he's oblivious to, which they kind of have to make him oblivious to.
They
to make him
so hard to make him oblivious.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the worst written lines in Simpsons history.
What's your name, stranger?
Homer J. Simpson.
My name's Lurleen Lumpkin.
That's a pretty name.
Oh, you think so?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
No, and he says, I forgot it.
I forgot.
Yeah, like, kind of a clunker.
Yeah, what the hell? That's way Simpsons.
Yeah.
Graining.
Can't work on every line, I guess.
I think that's where they're trying to just show how oblivious he is. Mm. But you look at the things around it, like, he's that oblivious to her clear interest in him. Mm-hmm. Though I liked when he first introduced himself before the commercial break, and she's like, yeah. She's obviously thinking, you're the 800th guy tonight who will hit on me, the pretty waitress.
He's interested in the music,
but
man.
But the time cut shows he's there in the morning. Like, so did he talk with her all night? Like, how oblivious can he be? If you're talking to a beautiful waitress all night while you're a married man in a committed monogamous relationship, like, even Homer should know.
It leaves just that time jump leaves a ton to wonder. Yeah. How far away is this place? Why is he ready to get randy when he gets home?
I didn't think about that too.
How long has he been drinking?
Is it just normal makeup sex, or is it inspired by Lurleen? But a part of this episode that I like now that I didn't notice before, like this entire motivation of Homer is that he's appreciating like art.
Yeah.
And he is so in love with this art she's making, he wants to help her spread it to everywhere because it's like an emotional side of Homer. Usually he's obsessed with TV and eating. Food. But this is like, I love this song, I love your music, let's show people how good you are. And that's the side of Homer we don't see.
They're in between singing to a bowling ball.
That's true.
But I do.
Homer's singing to his ball again.
Yeah, and he's bowling at 280.
Oh, yeah?
There's a kind of hush all over the world.
Again, Chris, you're right. Lenny and Carl killed Barney.
This
could be Barney. Oh, Henry said that, sorry.
I was thinking about it because in the scene after this, Barney appears at the... It's actually a pretty cute scene where Mo finds out he's been cheated on by Homer going to... That's also where you find out that Fudd blinds hillbillies. Yeah. But Barney just sits there, and I was waiting, like, and now Barney says something. Wow, Barney doesn't say anything.
I think he just says, what? When Mo says, from now on, all the drinks are free for tonight or the next hour when Mo hears the song,
He does say something later, but the... I love that song. I was listening to oldies a lot as a kid, and so I knew that song, the kind of hush
this
song.
When we talk about Simpsons writers' nostalgia not being in tune with the times we were living in, because I was very young here, the song hasn't been recorded. Just, I remember growing up watching cartoons with those booths where you'd go and sing a song and it would spit out a record. I have never seen one of those in my entire life.
Might have.
Never.
And
if there
is,
let me go cut that Mighty Number 9 Mambo Number 5 parody that I did the other day.
So that's worth it.
I mean, speaking of things that there are not discussed but are inferred, Homer knows her address. Like, he goes to where she lives, so he found out her address. So even though he's like, oh, I forgot your name, well, you know her address, Homer. You knew where to find her. And when you think about it, in 1992, again, no internet, no phone. So he had to write
private
that down. Like, how's, or he at least has her phone number. Either of those is a level of intimacy.
I'm sure it happened in the 5 hours they were talking that we didn't see.
Yeah, but that's why, not to harp on that, but that she walks up to him in that scene as if they've never spoken before. Mm. So he's just been sitting there alone in the morning until they opened to talk to who? I don't know. A lot of that staging, time jump, I almost wish it wasn't there. All you had to do was have a dark sky, and this could be a naturally following scene. Now there's a ton of questions.
Well, so
it isn't Homer J. Simpson.
Lurleen, I can't get your song out of my mind. I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Do you think I could get a copy of it?
Sorry, darling. All my songs are up here. I'm basting a turkey with my tears. Don't look up my dress unless you mean it. I'm sick of your lying lips and false teeth.
Lurleen, we've got to crack open your head and scoop out those songs.
I wish her reaction was more joking to that, but she's not stupid enough to know he doesn't mean that literally. But I thought it was like magic, them making that scene.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Howdy, y'all. Today we have a very countrified episode of our favorite show, The Simpsons. You want to know how you can avoid being a hayseed hick? I'll tell you what, a good pair of socks. Yes, a good pair of socks, baby. And that's because this show is brought to you by Bombas, Bombas Socks. They have a sock for you that has been carefully created to improve on years of socks complacency in the industry. It's, I swear to God, a better toe fit, a better grip. It feels lighter, more comfortable. Bombas has spent 2 years in research and development in order to help bring you a better sock at a better price. Everything from advanced blister protection on the heels, a technology that helps the sock stay up instead of a creepy-ass sock guard. Bombas has innovated the sock, and I know how silly that sounds, but it's true. Even better, for every pair of socks you buy, one pair is given to the homeless. And there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Should you have any problem, Bombas will send you new socks and offer you a full refund. And yes, Talking Simpsons fans, you can get 20% off your first Bombas orders by going to getbombas.com/lasertime. It is just that simple. Why not head to the website, poke around a bit, see if it's right for you, and we'll scamper on back to the show. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
I have a sad story about Kiss Me. Which I've never actually said out loud, but song, I really remember that song.
I love her voice.
Whenever that came out, like 97, 98, I'm like 99? A teenager at Six Flags waiting in line for a roller coaster, and that song plays, and I see this woman who's probably in her like 30s, not very attractive, and she's crying as the song plays, and I'm just like, holy shit. The world is unfair, and this makes me so like sad. I'm not gonna kiss her. I'm 17, and she's not very attractive. So
that's what this will cheer up. Sexual assault.
So yeah. She's going through it. I guess.
She's feeling it. But now I feel like if I was at a theme park alone in
a
line,
song called "Kiss Me,"
and "Kiss Me" came on, and I saw people in the theme park kissing each other while that song played, I might cry.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
But the her being discovered that way is, it almost feels like a pre-parody of Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash thing. Where it's like they parody it so well in Walk Hard, of just the guy saying like, "You better play your one song at this radio thing, but I don't think you can play a single note that'll make me be impressed by your music."
I love that movie.
And then he immediately reacts like, "That's the greatest song!"
Can we celebrate that movie forever? Because those movies are still being made and so stupid.
Rediscover Walk Hard, people. It's such a great movie. John C. Reilly, so good.
I think I kind of want it.
It gets played on CUD radio, which I love. The CUD.
You got CUD on it.
The CUD shots are, I swear, they just drew a barn around the KBBL establishing shot.
But Marge is not happy about any of this.
She's wonderful. I could feel her sweet country soul in every digitally encoded bit.
Country music sucks. All it does is take precious airspace away from shock DJs whose cruelty and profanity amuse us all.
Shut up, boy. Marge, what do you think?
Well, it's nice. But who is this woman?
Well, right now she's an out-of-work cocktail waitress, but she's going to be a country music superstar like, that jerk in the cowboy hat. And that dead lady.
I don't like you hanging around some cocktail waitress.
Marge, you make it sound so seamy. All I did was spend the afternoon in her trailer watching her try on some outfits.
Ooh.
But I never really thought about that, but how little Homer is motivated by attraction to... And he's a Marge... What, a Margophile? Yeah, a Margisexual. He never cares about anybody.
But
else.
In other episodes, it has been implied he has a he has sexual
True.
Appetites.
You're right. That's why it was odd in the Maud episode. Oh, the wonder in the bar.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was wasted, too, so maybe his demons come out then.
Well, he was drunk at that bar, though.
Oh, true.
So.
Yeah. This is proclaiming he wants nothing in exchange.
Don't thank me, Lurleen. You should be thanking your brain.
Oh, Homer. No man has ever been this nice to me without, you know, wanting something in return.
Well, I was going to ask you for a glass of water, but now I feel kind of guilty about it.
Homer, you're just a big sack of sugar.
Thanks. You did say sugar, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, such a good joke. I love that joke. That again, I mentioned it in the Homer at the Bat episode, and it's same deal here. They said on the commentary that that joke the Fox censors hated and barely allowed on it, and then it was central in the commercials for the episode.
That's why this joke doesn't really work on me anymore, because I've saw those commercials so much, watching like 9 hours of TV a day in 1992.
Finally, the country episode, little me said. Woohoo!
Well, and also on the DVD, they don't have deleted scenes for this episode, but they do have one of the commercials that has a deleted scene in the commercial. It's
I wrote
on the
that
DVD.
Down.
Yeah.
Should I tell what the cut scene is? It's two lines. It's they're in the recording studio. Lisa says, "I never thought I'd see another woman in Dad's life." And Bart says, "What are you talking about? There's Sarah Lee, Aunt Jemima, Betty Crocker." They did not keep the cut scenes until, I think, season 5, because those are the DVDs that actually start featuring cut scenes, and we're going to get into those when we hit those episodes, because there's so many good jokes.
It's like a threat.
They could have become the Simpsons jokes that we know. That's what, like, in another timeline, we could be saying these different jokes, and we would know these different jokes.
And speaking of quick jokes, I loved, like, it was almost too savage, but it felt like such a Hollywood Babylon moment of Krusty, like, slapping Mel, like... Told you to stay away from my sister.
The idea that Sideshow Mel fucks somebody's sister should be the funniest thing in the whole episode.
And Krusty's sister never heard from again. Doesn't exist. Yeah.
The bone stage.
Just
you
like
go,
Aunt Bella.
And also I have come to really like the way Snake says it's payback time. It's about to smash him in the face.
But Marge does eventually ask Homer to stop seeing Marlene.
Are you having an affair with this woman?
No.
Have you kissed her?
No.
Has she kissed you?
A couple of times.
I want you to stop seeing her.
I can't. I'm her manager.
Her manager? That's ridiculous. I won't allow you to spend any more time away from your family.
Marge, you're standing in the way of my boyhood dream of managing a beautiful country singer.
Your boyhood dream was to eat the world's biggest hoagie, and you did it at the county fair last year, remember?
Marge, Lurleen's going to be a big success, and whether you like it or not, I'm going to be there.
Fine. See if I care.
Yeah. That is their first your boyhood dream was to be a whatever. And they had the previous one of like, don't you remember? We went to the gorge or we went to that car shaped like a bowling ball. Like they definitely had jokes before of like,
similar.
Don't you remember this? And here's a photo. But this was the boyhood dream one. They'd later do like, your boyhood dream was to run onto the baseball field, and you did it, remember?
Yeah, ruins game.
Yeah.
And at this point, Homer is now Colonel Homer dressed in the Colonel suit.
Oh.
A parody of Elvis's manager, I believe, who eventually killed him with illegal drugs.
Colonel Parker, his very controlling manager slash best friend. And that is also something to remember about Elvis, that he apparently never took an illegal drug in his life, but he took prescription drugs. Like, he hated drugs. drugs, but all these pills, great. Yeah.
How many celebrities are killed by their you know, opportunistic doctors that are just like, I'll get
Michael
you anything.
Jackson, yeah. Heath Ledger.
Prince, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe Prince. That sounds like a good feature to me. I look forward to a morbid listicle.
We don't have a death jingle for this episode, so I need to mention some death.
Goodness. But, so Marge is really hurt here, and then Homer, like...
This might be my line of the show. I do love it. Everything Homer says in that costume.
That's the joke.
Hey, Colonel Homer. And you must be...
Mrs. Homer Simpson.
Charmed.
Thought you said she was overweight.
Marge, it takes two to lie. One to lie and one to listen.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Poor Marge.
This is a great performance here from Julie Cadner.
No, she's realistically angry.
Yes.
In the last clip
we showed, like, I don't know. I'm liking Marge. Even though she's your bum for Marge, she's at least giving a great performance.
She's clearly hurt, and I get that. I think Homer could have had a better argument if he said, this will make us lots of money. Like, we could make... She's getting popular.
Yeah.
I'll get a piece of that. And
so what Bob said, that like, he's not motivated by that. He just loves the song that much.
She's just a friend.
And again, how oblivious he is to the vagina being thrown in his face.
Fuck with me tonight.
Oh, that's hot. There isn't a man alive who wouldn't get turned on by that. Well, goodbye.
That's my favorite song in this episode, by the way.
Bunk with Me.
The repetition of Bunk with Me makes it really funny.
And then she like slows it down and starts singing it to him. Yeah,
and she's sexy as shit.
The previous song is like, these are all about Homer now.
Yep. Bagged Me a Homer.
Bag Me a Homer. Definitely like, I'm gonna get your man. You know, or I've gotten your man. Really.
I love the animation. It's basically a mini music video. And then they fill in like Bart being Bart is being such an annoying kid in both of his shots, and then Lisa got to play on the song. Which,
I like that little saxophone part in that song, and the writers say it's kind of like an opera, and that so much of the story is told through song. I think that's true. Like so much of this, I think there's like 5 minutes worth of songs in this episode, or maybe four.
Also, like it still made me cringe now hearing teeth scratch against teeth. Like I hate it. Poor Marge again. Like Homer really should know how much it hurts her.
And this is like a little bit again. As an adult, these scenes become a little more traumatizing. The idea that Marge is going to dress the kids in their Sunday best to show Homer.
They knew what it was. Like they knew they were being used to be like, please don't cheat on your family.
Dress up and show your father. And that, there's a scene in World According to Garp. We watched that recently. It's just like that. But anyway, here's a clip.
Just so you know, while you and Lurleen were out judging that grease pig contest, Mandy cut her first tooth.
That's great, honey. Say, have you seen my rattlesnake headband?
You're not even listening to me.
Sure, they will.
Kids, will you come in here? You've got a wonderful family, Homer. Please don't forget it when you walk out that door tonight.
I gotta go.
As much as I hate that man right now, you gotta love that suit.
That seems like the first inkling of Homer that there could be something wrong. I think he's only realizing it in this act three.
Yeah, I think he's... Well, I mean, the bunk with me tonight was finally when he got it. And that was a connected bookend that you might have missed, is when he gets hit on by Lurleen, he runs away and says, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And Marge is then confronting him with, please don't leave your family. Yeah, I gotta go. Same deal. Like, he's reacting to both. He doesn't... It's implied he almost doesn't know what he wants.
I think he might be a little... denial. Like, he wants this dream to come true for Lurleen, but it's also at the cost of his family.
Yeah, and I did love, it's a little thing, but the way Patty is on the phone and she's like, oh, you got that one?
I do, yeah.
All our money's tied up in this woman. If she fails, we're broke. If she succeeds, I have no husband. Mm. I don't know what to root for.
You don't?
I just love that. You don't. You know, I swear I've said that in real life. And then comes to a parody that makes no sense to kids today.
This is nuts, yeah.
Hold on to your pitchforks, everybody. It's time again for... Yeah! Starring in alphabetical order, Yodeling Zeke, Butterball Jackson, Reddit Boy and Yuma, Chorus Moselle, Big Shirtless Ron, Orville and Hurley, Gappy May... Hip Diddler, Rooney, the Yahoo Recovering Alcoholic Jug Band. And tonight, in her syndicated TV debut, Lurleen.
God, okay, so the Yahoo! Best... This is an amazing hee-haw parody.
Yes.
The best hee-haw parody is Horse Apples from Wonder Shows.
Wonder Shows and Horse Apples is the greatest. Well, this is a very good one.
Yeah, not as savage, but still works.
Bummer slash fucking societal relief. Is that no one will ever get any of those again. But, like, if you were a kid like me in the South growing up without cable, Hee-Haw was on every 7 seconds. And, like, Hee-Haw is a show that started in the 60s and was a syndicated television show that continued into the 90s. Mm. It technically, at the time, it had been on longer than Saturday Night Live. And it was on all the fucking time. And I didn't like anything that wasn't a cartoon anyway. But Hee-Haw had a cartoon.
It had like 2 seconds
of
a cartoon.
It was infuriating. Yeah. And so you'll never know that burden of having to watch Hee-Haw. But it sucks.
The show is just like the parody in that there are these 10-second comedy sketches, and then and then a man very sincerely introduces a musical guest.
You know what, kids? You will know what Hee-Haw is if you know the Family Guy joke and Ladies and Gentlemen Conway Twitty. Those are all clips from Hee-Haw.
One of the laziest jokes in that lazy-ass show's lazy history.
It makes me laugh almost every time, depending on how high I am, and especially when they're like the 2 or 3 times, are they really going to let the song go all the way through?
Then they don't have to animate shit or write words or do jokes.
I think they
did
it
more part of this meta Andy Kaufman joke, and we get to sit there and enjoy it.
They did it more than once, I think, right?
They all the time, and it just gets longer every single time. It gets more elaborate.
I haven't seen that far.
So I will say that Hee-Haw is not something I'd ever want to watch. Not funny, but I miss the age of variety shows. It introduced probably a lot. It became a platform for a lot of musicians who wouldn't have
country musicians
otherwise.
Who didn't have Tonight Show spots and like weren't getting on regular channels.
And, again, this will date all of us, and actually just me, but there's another thing called the Grand Ole Opry, which is like a classier Hee-Haw.
Yeah,
I think.
But
it was like the Prairie Home Companion version of
which is a parody of something like Hee-Haw, maybe.
But my favorite of the names is Hip Diddler. That's my favorite.
Actually, this has my line of the show. I don't think you have it in your clips, Chris.
Oh, no.
Homer saying they don't call me Colonel Homer because I'm some dumbass army guy.
Yes, they do. It's when he's talking to the Rebel Yell Rep.
Excuse me, are you Colonel Homer Simpson?
Yes, I am.
I'm from Rebel Yell Records, a division of Tokusage Corporation. I'm interested in buying Lurleen's contract.
Forget it, pal. They don't call me Colonel Homer because I'm some dumbass army guy.
So why not, Bobby?
I don't know
That's the joke.
It's so mean to the military. Rebel Yell Records, a property of the Togasaki.
That's great.
What you probably don't remember from that era, I mean, like, home video was becoming big, but a few studios were embracing it very well, Disney being one of them, and Universal being another one, and that was all brought to you by MCA Universal, a momentary acquisition of everything we had, America had, by Japanese corporations. The only one that still holds on, really, is Sony and Columbia. Mm-hmm. And then I really hate, you see a Ghostbusters trailer, and there's so many things they hate about. Just kidding. But I refuse to watch it. They do both Sony and Columbia. And like, why are you sliding Sony in here? Like, we know you own Columbia. Like, Sony didn't have anything to do with it.
They should just change Columbia
to Sony if you
just
need this logo here.
Sony Film.
A Sony company, something like that.
The Sony
which
gets
says,
bigger
which it
bigger
says
bigger
under now. The Columbia logo.
God, but it's like, redundant.
But that was the joke you won't get now, is that at the time, like, it was kind of nuts. A bunch of Japanese corporations were buying a ton of record companies and a ton of media companies.
I also did love Lurleen's joke about fiberglass hay. Like, it's like stabbing her. The animators really draw her sexily in this bit. Like, they were clearly very excited to draw a sexy lady.
There were more than a few like good butt shots of Lurleen that I noticed this time. I was
When she walks into meeting Marge for the first time, it's just like swing.
Maybe that'll be our season 3 of the hottest Simpsons character ever. And I'm really going to put Lurleen way up there.
I want that recorded and I want people to hear me talking about
it. Exactly. I'm not ashamed.
So when Homer has his flashback to all his entire love life, seemingly, it kind of tells me the same thing I thought about Marge from The Way We Was, which is, Marge seems to have only had one sexual partner her entire life, Homer. Mm. And based on that thing, Homer didn't seem to ever get laid before meeting Marge in his senior year in high school either. So are they the only people they've ever had sex with? And at that point, it really feels like
thought that was a mathematic equation to marrying someone you met in high school.
I guess but it's that almost makes it feel like, just have an open marriage or something, or just say like, you know, just fuck this person. Have some experience
spoken,
outside of
spoken
me.
Spoken like a true gay man. Can you hear, you can listen to this horseshit?
Spoken like a millennial.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I am more on the side of polyamory these days, but I just think like,
how about
monogamy.
you deliver the case to my lady. Let's see how she treats it.
I'd say monogamy seems very outdated, especially when it's just like, I don't know. It's like a handshake.
I'm signing off on that by winking to you.
It was funny, too, that Homer had to be like, oh, you would have gone all the way with me, too, right? And
Lurleen goes after
Sorry, Lurleen. All I wanted to do was share your beautiful voice with other people. And I've done that. Now I better get out of here before I lose my family. Just so I don't wonder, you would have gone all the way with me, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's a weird clarification there. That it's like she seemed to be so down with casual sex to this point that I guess it's the joke is Homer so stupid he needs that confirmation.
I think maybe she thinks maybe this he will come back to me if I let him know, yes, I will have sex with you, Homer.
It was pretty clear in the beginning. Like, it wasn't, well, I'm going to leave my marriage for a makeout session tonight with the promise of third base later. Like, I would think Homer knows, like, you're having sex. Yeah. Like, this is a sexual encounter.
I was only bummed out by that. They make numerous references that they're sinking their life savings into Lurleen's career. He's like, I'm desperate to offload her. I'll give you $50. So either you lost a shitload of money or your life savings with $50. I don't know which one I want to root for.
My headcanon for that is that they made, in the montage, they made back the money. Like, they still sold all those records. They were packaging those records there, and they sold
them. Thank you.
Them.
I feel good. So maybe, he has a back-end deal.
I need to update the wiki for
this. So maybe it got them just back to zero, I suppose.
We have Lurleen's last song, Stand By Your Manager. She writes backstage, I guess, before a performance. And Homer makes it home.
And by the way, live television loves it when you spring a song on them. Just ask Lorne Michaels. You'll always be invited back.
And they must be filming Yahoo 15 minutes from The Simpsons home because he gets there in time for it to air live. And unless it was on tape delay, maybe.
This is the most explicit song because she name drops Homer and Marge
also
in the song.
Also, dropped by that point. And I did love, in the flashback thing too, I love that Nancy got to play a woman for once, and she's like, thanks for dinner. And
drives away.
Like, that was such a great, like, that's Nancy, the woman there. It felt so natural for her, just like, a sarcastic, kind of masculine voiced woman.
I think that's her real voice, though.
Yeah.
Like, not even putting on a voice.
Thanks for dinner.
So I like this episode. I don't think it's super funny. Mm-hmm. But I still really enjoyed it. My one problem is, like, we don't see a lot of Lurleen outside of her being horny for Homer. Like, that's her only identity, really. Mm-hmm. And upon watching this, like, as an adult, I'm like, I wish there was something more to Lurleen than just that's all she is, you know, just a temptation.
I mean, she is a great songwriter, a great singer-songwriter. So, but they're just like, it's like a talent or something, whatever. But you're really interested in Homer. And then also that, Marge is watching Yahoo naked, and that she doesn't know Homer's coming back to have sex.
That's another Mark Kirkland trait.
Yeah.
He directed this episode.
I mean, it helps for the episode to end with them both nude in bed about to do it. And so at least then you just get to watch Homer undress in such a horrifying way. But
out of his colonel costume.
Yeah, I actually love that.
So Lurleen does come back in Marge versus the Monorail next year. I spent last night in a ditch. And then she comes back in season like 15, 16, 17.
I looked it up. Season 19.
Okay, I did watch this one when it aired, and I remember not liking it because I did watch this one right before, like, Lurleen's coming back, and it was like I was so let down.
No, I had not watched it. I just read the wiki on it, but it was pretty much they reveal that the previous cameo appearances of her don't really count, but that she had hit the skids after Homer wasn't managing her anymore. Her father, she owed a ton of back taxes, and her father was taking advantage of her too. Then she is able to get back on her feet. They shove in a bullshit appearance by the Dixie Chicks in the episode.
Oh, Jesus.
And then it seems that and then Homer even dresses up as Colonel Homer again to get to with Marge, and they help her get back on her feet. And then it seems to imply Marge has forgiven her. And then the parting joke is Marge saying, if you ever come near my husband again, I will choke you to death.
Jesus Christ.
And so.
Oh, what a classic episode. We'll get to that one in probably 2023, I'm guessing, if we're all still alive and still doing podcasts. If podcasts even exist anymore, who knows? But
I think Marge was a little, my opinion is Marge was slightly too forgiving, but. And I also thought it was,
but he didn't do
Homer
anything.
Is full on making out with her in that after his dream sequence. That unless she,
I'd
like
to think that all happened.
He absentmindedly did it. Like he was.
I'd like to think it's a split second. He didn't. He wasn't going for it.
Yeah, she kind of like lunged at him.
I mean, Marge definitely went closer to infidelity with Jacques. She
now that hurts. That you don't do.
It was more like premeditated, I would say. And she knew what she was doing.
She knew what that brunch was. And he told her, "Hey, will you come have sex with me next week?"
Yeah.
I will.
Tell all my girlfriends. Fuck whoever you want. Just don't tell me about it or fall in love. Why is it so hard? I do it all the time.
But this is, not the most hilarious episode we've seen in season 3, but a well-animated one with a lot of great songs. Beverly D'Angelo's one of their best guests ever, I think.
Yeah, her voice really fit the character and about how she looks and how she acts, too.
And Yahoo, if in a world where horse apples didn't exist, this would be the best parody of Hee Haw.
And there's maybe like 2 hours worth of horse apples, I think, on that DVD.
Oh my god!
Wonder
Shows In, watch it, season 2 especially with the horse apples. Horse apples.
Your favorite alt comedians playing hillbillies.
Yes. We were watching the deep breath joke zoom montage on YouTube. It is hypnotic.
Beautiful. It is hypnotic. Have you
it
seen kind of
makes
Bob?
Me nauseous after a while. Just all the zoom ins. Yeah. So yes, that has been our exploration of Wonder Shows, I guess, and The Simpsons, obviously. And
Wonder Shows would have been a much better show to do this with.
Yes,
we'd have done. We'd be done in 16 episodes.
God, it's so few. I've been your host, Bob Mackey, stammering for no reason. I'm thinking about Lurley Lumpkin. She's great. And you can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. You can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net every Monday. And I also write for somethingawful.com. Guys, where can we find you? And what do you do?
Well, first I want to say, Bob, I really do love your Something Awful stuff. Especially,
thank you.
One of my favorite visual gags you did recently was a parody of people refusing to review Ghostbusters, and you took the Ghostbusters logo and then put the circle cross over that logo to say no to Ghostbusters. It was so brilliant.
Behind the scenes, I thought of that joke, and I had to write an article to justify it. That's how comedy works.
It happens to me all the time.
That's how comedy works.
But hey, I'm HENEREYG on Twitter. I don't have a podcast to say that on anymore, so I'll say it here. I write for fandom.wikia.com. You'll find my thoughts on comics, movies, video games, all that stuff on there professionally. But I'm still part of the Laser Time family, appearing on podcasts like this or Laser Time. And I also want to say that this is created by patreon.com/lasertime. The support on Patreon made this and all the other podcasts on Laser Time possible, and you can find the first season of Talking Simpsons right there, patreon.com/lasertime. You scroll through the recent post, you will see Black Smithers welcoming you to season 1.
Welcome to all the new content, sir. And Chris, did you do your spiel?
No, but Laser Time, I'm so tired. What a great show The Simpsons is. I should go to bed.
You've been hard at work in the content mines.
Yeah.
Yes. So thanks for listening.
30-20-10.
I'm putting a cap on 6 podcasts today.
I think of 30-20-10 as a sister podcast to this. It has similar nostalgia over 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and where we did talk a lot about Wonder Shows in a few episodes ago.
That's a good one.
Give a listen to that.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with the return of Sideshow Bob.
Infotainment.